better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, we were giving you an update on some of the things that Hunter Yurecek was tweeting out about maybe possibly getting the Slobberhog back in the middle of the court for at Bud Walton Arena, which so many people have wanted, myself being included. It's just for nostalgia purposes. But, you know, this has just been one of many other things that Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director, and some coaches like Eric Musselman have been trying to do to get the old school feel, the vintage feel, from the good old days of Razorback basketball back. I mean, for crying out loud, they're doing a red-white game at Barnhill Arena that everyone is pumped up about. You had Eric Musselman walking out to the press conference wearing some throwback mid-90s gear of the Razorback championships and everything. I mean, you see all these things happening. And once again, Tommy, and I know we've discussed it before here on the show, and you've said how this state, by and large, and this fan base is I remember when type of fan base. And the question that I have, and because it's honestly just asking, because again, I love this stuff, but the question I have is, having that mentality, can it go too far? Can it keep you from moving forward in a lot of ways? Can it keep you from being able, not, and I'm just not talking about the, you know, putting graphics on Bud Walton Arena's floor, but just constantly looking back at the past, wanting the past back, wanting Bobby Petrino back as coach type stuff that just can really hold you back as a program?
Oh, I think so, because you're always, you know, you're not looking forward. You're looking in the rearview mirror. So, yeah, I think you can make a point. It can hold you back because you're not focused on the present. You're focused on the past, which you can't fix. You can't change the past. So, yeah, I see your point there. Absolutely, it can hold you back. But I don't think we're a program or a state that's just, you know, locked into that or concrete shoes. I mean, but the success we're having now, particularly in football, it's hard not to think about the good old days, because there hadn't been a lot of good old current times. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why fans so often look back to it and back to it, because they remember the feelings they had. Because, listen, you can't get Nolan Richardson back in his prime as a head coach and winning championships. You can't just do that in the snap of a finger. And I think that everybody realizes that. But the stuff that you felt and you saw surrounding it is what you feel like you can get back. Because when people went to Bud Walton Arena back in the championship season, the first season it was ever open, and you had 20,000 people showing up for Delaware State when everything was just beautiful, well, you remember the team that you saw, and you remember the coach you saw, and you remember the play and the product that was put up on the court. Those things, though, you can't get back. But the things surrounding it, the slobber hog down there, some of the old school cheers and things that they used to have up on the screen. I know it wasn't a Jumbotron screen. I don't even know what you would have called that old screen that they tried to make some graphics and things on. But as a kid, you know, that's something I remember too, and I know you do as well, Tommy. Those things, you remember you having Coca-Cola products and how much better it was. You know, it's just those are the things that you were hoping that you could have surrounding you around it. And it's not, and I know we're talking about basketball, but it's not just that. It's that way with football. It's that way with everything, that you just want to have the success that comes along with it. Of course, you want to be able to win at a high level, but you also want to be able to have those feelings and the surroundings of what it felt like when those successes were coming into it. Another example, look at the football uniforms this year. They went back to the 2006 and 2007 uniforms that really look slick and a lot of Razorback fans love. Now, do you think, Tommy, that if Arkansas during those years that they wore those uniforms in the mid-2000s went 4-7 and 5-6, do you think fans would have that much nostalgia and that much love for those uniforms?
No, they wouldn't, because you wouldn't remember the good times then.
Yes, exactly. And so people that remember those things, that's why they enjoy it so much, is that they remember when it was successful, and with that success, they think that maybe if those things come back, the rest of success will come back as well. And it's just how this state is. They are so much about, I remember when, I want this back, I want vintage back, I want all the old ways of doing things to come back, because that's what was comfortable, that's what was exciting, and that's what our passion was built on. And I think under the previous administration, so much of that was lost that Hunter Yurecek is definitely taking advantage of the situation, which I agree with, and I think it's a smart move by him to try to gain some of those fans back.
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, the smartest thing is you're just giving fans a voice. You're giving them reason to believe they're being heard. And that's been the problem for the last, you know, prior to him being here, is the common fan that wasn't writing big checks didn't feel like they were heard, like their opinion mattered. And now, at least with these bus tours and what he's called listening tours and, you know, and having the willingness to take time to talk with fans, not donors, but fans, has made them feel involved in the process. And that has been the problem, is there seemed to be a class system under the previous administration, and there's always going to be that in business. You know, your biggest customers, your biggest people that provide the majority of your revenue are always probably going to have a little more priority in what you think of their opinion. The problem was the people that were just buying tickets and not donating anything had no priority, and it seems like they at least have a voice now. Whether it has any weight or not, I don't know, but at least they have the feeling and the perception. And that's the reality that they're being listened to.
Tommy, do you think that Jeff Long set the program back, by and large, the entire athletic program? Don't think so?
No, okay. I mean, look at the facility improvements. He did bring in Bobby Petrino. They did have two very successful football seasons. Now, there was bad along with good, but Jeff Long's tenure was by and large, successful. You know, he did what an athletic director is supposed to do, and he advanced the revenue in the league. Advanced the revenue for the school. Now, the revenue in the league advanced a lot with the SEC network, but, you know, he got the football operations center built. He also got the North End Zone project funded and started. He wasn't here to complete it, so he got the basketball operation or basketball practice facility done and a lot of other renovations and expansions, Baum Stadium being one of them, track facilities being other, the indoor for baseball and track that's over there now. No, I mean, just from a simple facility standpoint, he was highly successful.
But so what comes down to it then is, if he was so successful, you know, why is he not here anymore?
He didn't listen. He didn't listen to people. And listen, he was here 10 years. I mean, 10 years is a good run anymore in a high-profile job like that. It's just hard to stay. And when you're not – and he wasn't here because he wouldn't listen about Brett Bielema. That's why he's not here. He's here because he wouldn't listen to his bosses. His bosses said to take care of this Bielema issue, and he ignored him. He thought he had enough stroke to get that done, or to bypass the board. He found out he didn't. But he stayed 10 years. I mean, that's still a pretty good track.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And when it comes to not only athletic directors, but if you look at just the SEC with their athletic directors and coaches, they're changing fairly often. And I think that's another thing why, if you go, you know, reverting it back to Arkansas and just the old school feel to it, I mean, Frank Broyles was your athletic director forever. I mean, for in some people's minds, like me, or for even like you, Tommy, Frank Broyles, when I was growing up, I was like, oh, I just feel like this guy's here forever. He's been here since the beginning of time. He's been here since the athletic program at the University of Arkansas was founded. Now, that's obviously not true, but that's how long he was and how big of an impact he had.
And then span generations.
Yes, exactly. And then when you had Jeff Long come in, it was almost like you expected the same type of thing, where you have an athletic director that'll be just like Frank Broyles was and be there for the long haul and be there forever.
Nobody in this generation, nobody in our parents' generation, stays at their job 50 years. Frank Broyles was with the University of Arkansas 50 years. That doesn't happen anymore, whether it's business, whatever profession or walk of life you're in. 50 years at a university, 50 years at a company. Nobody in our generations, John, is going to work anywhere for 50 years. It's just not the world we live in anymore. That's the difference in our great-grandparents and our grandparents' generation, the ones that grew up in the Depression, the ones that went to World War II, the ones that were raised in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's just different now. Loyalty's not there in this world anymore. Both ways, and that's a two-way deal, you know, but you're not ever going to see a Frank Broyles or, you know, look at Frank Beamer. What was he, you know, how long he was at Virginia Tech, and you're just not going to see that anymore in this world. It's just not going to happen.
And is it just because that's, as society, that's where we've gotten to, or is there like legitimate reasons to why you don't want anybody staying at a job for that long?
Well, I mean, we always think the grass is greener on the other side. I mean, that's just who we are as people now, because we have no patience. We have no willingness to stick with somebody in the downtimes or stick with a company in the downtimes because there's better times on the horizon. Sometimes the grass on the other side of the fence is greener because it's been fertilized, you know. So that's just it, people aren't patient anymore. And it, particularly when it comes to the college football teams, and particularly when it comes to their ADs. And, you know, ADs have to make tough decisions. And a lot of times those decisions are not going to please fans. They're not going to please the board. Frank was a unique individual that he just had more power than the board collectively because he had earned it over decades. You know, and he had won the national championship. He started with winning the national championship in 1964, the run they had again in 65, and, you know, the 69 team, and you could just keep going. But so Frank had earned that kind of stroke back in a day where I don't think we let people become as powerful now as they once were.
Yeah, so. And it's about what you are able to accomplish, because you mentioned Frank and having the national championship and everything like that. I think Jeff Long, for one of the reasons, you know, what gave him a lot of clout is that he did make the hiring of Bobby Petrino, and also he did do the firing of Bobby Petrino, which he was praised nationally about making that decision, because let's be honest, Tommy, there's a lot of athletic directors across the country that have done some things to make sure that their coach stayed care of, even though they should have been fired.
Frank had clout because he's a winner, and winners always have more clout and more rope. That's just the way it is. So, you know, that you win, people give you more grace. That's just the way the world works. Hey, we've been telling you for a while about our good friends and a great place to go hang out, watch the game this Saturday night. Maybe go out and just have an evening out with the guys, or maybe you're looking for a place to have a late afternoon business meeting. That's 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge at 906 Garrison Avenue in downtown Fort Smith. They've expanded their menu. They got chicken pyros, cubanas, other sandwiches. If you like wings, they got jumbo roasted honey bacon jam wings that are absolutely delicious. Salads, flatbreads, desserts, coffees, lunch or dinner, they've got something for you. Of course, world-class cigars, top-shelf liquors, great wines, premium beers. You're going to find everything there. And, you know, in addition to that, the most comfortable leather chairs you're ever going to see. Find them on Facebook. See pictures and details. Stop in and see them at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Sample, indulge, and escape.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Jim is in Nashville. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How are y'all this morning?
We're doing awesome, man. What you got for us this morning?
I'm talking about Razorback football. Y'all are talking about, you know, how this win is a win against the Colorado State team. No, it's not an SEC team, but it is a process that I think we're going to see if you're a Razorback fan. And hopefully Chad Morris is going to get this going, and this is what we're going to see, just a small portion of it. So if you're a Razorback fan, you've got to be hopeful.
Well, of course you do. I mean, you had something to actually be hopeful about against Colorado State. You had an offense that you looked at that you saw, okay, so this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to be. And if they can just build on top of that, there's no reason why fans don't feel that this offense can be something really good by the end of the season, and especially in the seasons to come. And this is an offensive-driven identity of a team. So, yeah, all those factors were going in, and that's what Colorado State was so important for in the victory that they had, is it didn't provide just this national championship-caliber team, but it gave you a pulse when you felt like you had none for a long time.
Hey, I got one question, and I'll let you guys go. But, you know, going into A&M, is there a chance? Is there a chance? How much better do y'all think that we'll get after this ball game? I do think it'll be a win against San Jose State. But then leading up to the A&M ball game, how much more do you think the offense will evolve? And I'll let you go. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate the phone call, Jim. As far as that goes, I mean, it depends on what you do in this game. Assuming that Arkansas goes out against San Jose State and really builds on the momentum that they started against Colorado State, and you see Starkle go for another 300-yard game, you get Brakeem Boyd for another 100-yard rushing attack. I mean, if you get the offense and it looks just as good or maybe even improved from Colorado State, you know, going against Texas A&M, I don't know. It's going to be tough to really figure out how confident you are, because you beat two non-Power 5 teams. You put up some points against them, and you feel good about it, but Texas A&M is an SEC opponent, an SEC West opponent, a team that's going to be in the top 25. Top 20, we'll see what they do against Auburn this weekend. But, you know, that's I'll feel better about it, and I think fans will feel better about it. But at the same time, though, I don't know if I'm going to pick them to win either.
Yeah, I mean, we need to see a little more this week. I want to see how this offensive line continues to mature and develop. No one likes when we spend a lot of time on the offensive line, but it's critical. I mean, it's just there's no way around trying to win in this league unless you can win at the battle, the offensive and defensive line. So, I mean, those guys got to remain healthy, and there's been health issues there all year. Ty Clary got better from game two to game three, so we got to continue to see that improvement. Where you're at with Austin Capps and him getting better. I mean, just Colton Jackson's foot. I mean, all of this stuff, you got to come out of this San Jose State game, healthy. You cannot beat A&M or even have a chance to be competitive with A&M unless you are really healthy on your offensive and defensive lines.
Oh, yeah, and you got to keep everybody healthy as much as you possibly can. You don't want to have them go out there and bubble wrap or anything like that because you got to still win the game. You still got to be able to improve and get your reps in and showcase yourself a little bit. But you can't go into Texas A&M where you have an offensive line or lineman or two either missing or not 100% and expect to be as successful. Because let's be honest, no team wants to see any injuries. Nobody wants to see any injuries. But for a team like Arkansas, it's particularly important that everybody stays healthy because you can't afford to lose anybody. Anybody. I mean, even at positions you think you're deep at, if you lost, let's say, for instance, the running back position. If you lost Rakeem Boyd for any period of time, do you think that would have a pretty big impact, Tommy? I think it would.
Yeah.
And even if you lost Cheyenne O'Grady, do you think that that would be a pretty big impact regardless? Yeah, I do too.
Two of your best players on offense.
Yes. So, but you're deep at that position, of course.
Maybe I don't think there's any question they're your best two players.
Yeah, but you have depth, and that's great. But you still need those starters, man. No. You still need the best
players.
The reason
those guys are the starters. Now, there's probably more depth, honestly, from one to two at the position at running back than there is tight end. I think we'd agree with that. But with the drops we've seen from Harrell and Grayson Gunner, I think we'd feel a lot more comfortable with Whaley running the ball than a backup, either one of them at tight end.
Yes, absolutely. And, the other thing about this game, too, against San Jose State that I'm going to be looking at is seeing the performance of Bumper Poole and seeing how he's going, how healthy is he going to be, how much play is he going to get, because, he looked pretty banged up there against Colorado State and, dealing with a strained collarbone or strained?
Yeah, strained clavicle.
It's clavicle, there you go. Yeah,
well, clavicle.
Can't strain a bone.
Yeah.
Can't strain a bone, guys. It's a shoulder sprain. So.
Well, that's what they said. It was a clavicle strain, though.
A bone?
Right. Yeah, what they said.
I played a doctor on a soap opera once, so maybe, I don't know.
Hey, listen, we're just going off of what the medical report says.
And I understand.
Hey, listen, it's like going to an
auto. Clavicle's a bone, right?
Yes.
Your shoulder blade, your bone. I don't know. I've never heard that term, though.
All I know is that something is wrong in his neck and shoulder area, and he hurts from it. That's what I know. And it's going to be interesting to see if he's limited on that whole thing. So that, I'm going to be watching for that, too, because linebacker, especially with Bumper Poole, who's had a lot of experience last year and is arguably your second-best linebacker behind Scooter Harris, you're also going to have him healthy, and especially against Texas A&M. So they're probably going to be limiting him as much as possible to make sure he's ready against the Aggies.
Yeah, so we'll see how all of that goes this morning.
Yeah, but appreciate the call, Jim, and say call back anytime. We have a few people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Corey and Roger says, I think that this game is important to improve our depth's experience so we can go into the next week with a full roster and improve depth. Well, yeah, that's what you're hoping you can do. You're hoping that this game against San Jose State is not one where you're having to have your first teamers out in the middle of the fourth quarter or late in the fourth quarter to keep this game keep this game into the same victory that you're trying to get. I don't think that's going to be an issue against San Jose State, but yeah, this is a time where you want to see a lot of the backups get in there. And like we talked about partly in the opening segment, about the backup quarterback, too. Now, who's that going to be if Arkansas gets up big? Because Chad Morris was asked about that. He didn't get into it. Said, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, as far as who the quarterback you'd like to see, I think most people would want to see K.J. Jefferson.
I want to see K.J. Jefferson because I think we all agree or have the thinking that he's the kind of the future down the road. Even if it's not – if Starkel's still the guy next year, which you're really hoping it is, I mean, things have went well. You think that style is really what what Chad Morris is trying to do here. That's ultimately the blueprint, the guy that can really do the RPO and be a true dual threat. So, yeah, I mean, that I want to see some of that.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody wants to see Ben Hicks, even though I think we'll see Ben Hicks if that ends up
being
the guy.
We've seen Ben Hicks, you know.
Yeah, it'll end up probably being him, though, if they get into that situation. But that's another thing, too, is that, you know, Chad Morris was never really in that situation where he's been up so much on an opponent that he was able to throw in some of the second stringers. Because even at Colorado State, you ended up winning big, but Tommy was tied at 34 late in the game. It's not like you were in control the entire time.
You know, those weren't fluke plays. You had a good defensive play. Hayden Henry provided the hit. I did get my right Henry there. I think Hayden Henry provided the hit, and Ladarius Bishop scooped and scored. That's a fortunate play. Now, what are the odds that that happens again this week or in the next couple of weeks? I mean, it could, but, I mean, the likelihood, how many more games in a row are you going to have a defensive score of that nature where you have a scoop and score, particularly 2 weeks in a row? You know, you're going to run out of those at some point. Those are not scores you can count on every week.
No, and listen, you don't need to have defensive touchdowns. I mean, yeah, you'd like to have them. We all would like to have them. But what you need to have, though, is when the other team turns it over, throws a pick, fumbles it, your offense takes advantage of the solid field position and the momentum.
That's right. Scores in the red zone because they got short field position to get started. So
exactly. Absolutely. Just about scoring.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Club Dub.
Yeah.
Now, those of you who do not know what Club Dub is, you need to go to the Arkansas Razorbacks official Twitter account and Facebook page, as after the victory against Colorado State, the locker room for the Razorbacks turned into a nightclub. Now, I'm not saying that, well, because they were just dancing around and having a good old time. I'm talking about lights going down, strobe lights. There's a bouncer dressed up in a full suit with sunglasses on, making sure your name has to be on the list to enter into the locker room type of club. That's what the locker room turned into. And it went viral, and everybody was just floored that this was a thing. This thing called Club Dub. Well, anyways, the SEC Network, they did a featurette on it and getting more explanation on it. And Nick Starkel and Cheyenne O'Grady were there, and they were discussing what Club Dub was and essentially what it means and how much fun it is. Take a listen.
And now you're heading back to what used to be your locker room, but it is now completely transformed into what?
Club Dub, baby.
Club Dub, okay.
Club Dub.
What is this? What is Club Dub?
There are guys in there just cutting off tape and acting like they're
heck no. So first thing you see, you walk around the corner, and we have one of our assistants, and he's fully dressed in a suit, opened up at the top, sunglasses on.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a list, and your name has to be on the list to get into Club Dub.
So the jersey's not enough?
Jersey's not enough. You got to be on that list.
Yep.
And so luckily our names were on the list, and so we make it into Club Dub. There's lights, there's confetti, there's music, and it's a big club in there.
Who's the DJ? Who's DJing at that point? Is Coach Morris over there?
Coach Morris is, I don't know if Coach Morris is DJing, but Coach Morris is having one heck of a
participating.
Time.
He's in Club Dub, I'll say that much.
He's in Club Dub, he's dancing, everybody's having a blast in there. Yep. And, you know, it's great. It's a great environment to go to after a game.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, congrats, guys. Y'all been in there a couple of times.
I appreciate it.
And
that.
I know you're looking forward to getting there again.
Yes,
good
sir.
Work.
Sir.
Thank you.
And that was Nick Starkel and Cheyenne O'Grady speaking with Matt Stinchcomb of ESPN and SEC Network. And, Tommy, you know, when you hear that type of thing, and it's just funny because it's like, you know, who thinks of these things? Who does something like that? But obviously, it's had an impact. It's something that it's exciting. And, hey, if it's a way to feel good, especially after a victory, to have some fun with it, I'm all for it, and I think it's a great idea and a great thing that what Chad Morris and the team's trying to do with their Club Dub.
Well, this is where having some of the younger folks on staff that they've put in there bring fresh new ideas that relate to today's players and, more importantly, I guess, today's recruits.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, guys like John Chavis probably are coming up with ideas. I don't think Steve Caldwell probably came up with the idea for Club Dub. But having some of these younger thoughts and some of these young whippersnappers like Ty Richardson hanging around come up with some of these ideas that work, you know. 1 out of 10 work, you know.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it because since it's a recruiting Thursday, it's pretty fitting that these types of things It's about going viral. It's about being seen. And I feel like it's not just with like a club dub, but for the past couple few seasons, there has been nothing but a one-up culture in college football when it comes to the ridiculousness of celebrations, of turnovers, whatever it is. Whatever they can throw and throw a video on and produce it up and get seen on ESPN and get seen on Twitter and on Facebook and have videos and everyone's thinking this is awesome. I mean, whatever it takes, stand out, that's what people are going to do. And then that's what this Club Dub is. You know, we talked with Clay Henry about Club Dub on Monday, and I was just like, so what did the players do when they celebrated a victory back in the 70s and in the 80s? And what was that? It was like, oh, you know, you'd have some people, they'd listen to music, and they'd maybe dance a little bit just in having fun in celebration, but it wasn't anything too crazy. But nowadays in college football, though, knowing that everything is going to be seen and that recruiting is so vital and important to the success, these are the small little things that we may not understand, that, you know, some of the older generations may not think it's that big of a deal. Some of them may not even like it because they think it's weird. It's like, hey, just play football, whatever. But those are the things that resonate with kids these days. It's about flash. It's about pizzazz. It's about standing out. And it's about having fun stuff that people can have fun with when they do something good. And yeah, this is just another element to it that I think is going to be helpful to recruiting, because I'm telling you right now, and this is something we're going to talk with Richard Davenport later in the show, I'm sure there's a lot of recruits that saw that video and was like, yeah, wow, that's pretty cool.
That's the kind of school I want to go to. That's the kind of coach I want to play for.
Exactly.
That's their thoughts. So, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm all for it. All right, let's go ahead and jump into your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling, Woo Pig Sue.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, we know you love guns, and we know you like some free ammo as well. Attention, Arkansas firearms lovers, get there this weekend to Ozark Sportsman Supply. They're having a big Springfield Armory Hit the Range event this Friday and Saturday. First 50 shooters get a free T-shirt, 10 rounds of ammo, a Hit the Range target, and a sticker or koozie. Now, during this special event, you can take home any of the in-stock Springfield models for $40 off. Also, register to win a Springfield Armory 911 Alpha 380 ACP that's valued at over $400. It's all this Friday and Saturday. Springfield Armory Hit the Range event at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply, the all-new updated range, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, a few injuries that you want to get an idea on where they're at. Jamario Bell will return to action Saturday. Chad Moore said yesterday that he was a bit fatigued at the end of the practices, but he came out fine. A few of the banged-up linebackers that Arkansas has, Bumper Pool and Hayden Henry. Bumper Pool, of course, with a shoulder injury, and I'm just what I'm going to call it because I got people flying out of like, what's the actual injury? Can't strain a clavicle. Whatever it is, it's his shoulder. It's hurt, and he's been dealing with that. And also Hayden Henry with his leg. They were full participants yesterday, and Pool was also in a green no-contact jersey on Tuesday, but now he's back to being a full go, so they anticipate him being back as well. Trey Knox was also in a green jersey yesterday, stemming from that big hit he took against, I guess it was Colorado State. Oh no, it was a few weeks ago at Ole Miss. He's still dealing with that. So he's got a little hip issue there, but he should be good to go as well. So basically going through all of that, the injuries, yes, you got a few guys banged up, but they're expecting everybody to be back in full go by the game against San Jose State this weekend. And that's going to be key, Tommy, is just making sure that these guys stay healthy, but also making sure that they get the reps and that they're all ready for Texas A&M, because that's going to be the big one.
Come out of the game healthy. That's as critical as anything we're talking about here. So, absolutely.
Yep. And also, the rotating offensive captain, because that's something that we've also not discussed. They have three permanent captains, and they have one rotating captain. Ty Clary will be the rotating captain for this weekend, which I think he deserves it. My goodness, that guy and that performance that he had against Colorado State, that was a whole different thing. I mean, it looked like a completely different guy out there. And, you know, they made a difference on the offense, too. And that's something that if they can continue to work on as well, fix up and get those snaps back to Nick Starkle in a timely manner, and also get it to where he can actually catch and make the plays, that's also big as well. So,
yeah, I know he had some good accolades from Pro Football Focus, and people have talked about that this week. Clay was talking earlier this week about the Rakeem Boyd run and how Clary had blocked two different defenders on that play. I heard him last night. Ty Clary was one of the players featured on the air with Chad Morris. You can hear it right here on Wednesday nights, right where you're listening right now. And he said he blocked one guy to the left, one guy to the right, and he said they just ran out of defenders. I thought that was a really cool way of what he was talking about. They just ran out of defenders.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. That was awesome. But yeah, that that play, and also the I wanted to bring this up, the Hunter Yurecek tweet that he had yesterday. By the way, Razorback fans, he's opening it up to you on what you want when it comes to Bud Walton Arena and the new graphics that are being put on the court. He's asking for suggestions. So if you have any, be sure to go get after him on Twitter at Hunter Yurecek and let him know the type of graphics that you want on Bud Walton Arena's floor. For some reason, I keep seeing a picture of Slobberhog being tweeted out at him. It's almost like that's what they want, far and away. So, but make sure you have the suggestions for Hunter Yurecek and the athletic director there as well. And also, this isn't necessarily dealing with the Razorbacks right now, but a former Razorback, Ty Storey, he may get the start for Western Kentucky as they had an injury to their starting quarterback, and it may be a serious injury. He may be the starter the rest of the way, Tommy. So you may see Ty Storey head back to Fayetteville as Arkansas plays Western Kentucky later this season.
Yeah, I had a chance, not since this news came out, to talk with his dad, Shane, who's a former head coach at Charleston and now an administrator there. And, it was a situation where he was behind a guy that had another year in front of him. And, it was just they knew it wasn't going to be easy going in. But he really likes the situation there at Western Kentucky. And you're right, with an injury, that may open the door for him to be the starter. Now, still a lot of time between now and when they play Arkansas, but it seems like a lot of times when these guys leave the program, they end up at a program that's on the schedule before they're done there. So that will be the case with Ty Storey for sure.
And I don't think it's done on purpose. I sincerely doubt that Ty Storey's like, I'm going to go to Western Kentucky just so I can play against Arkansas again. I don't think that's the case, but I don't know. Maybe that was a factor I went into it. But yeah, it always seems like that ends up being. Now, if Arkansas ends up playing, was it Southeast Louisiana where Cole Kelly's at next year or something like that, then, or the year after that? I think Cole Kelly's have 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I don't know his situation, but yeah.
Ty Storey is the son of two educators. Both his mom and his dad both work in education. So I would imagine the fit with where his degree program and all that was very important when choosing where he was going to go.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. But, yeah, it is just interesting.
Just knowing his background and his family there.
Yeah, it's just coincidental that it ends up happening. So there you have it. There is your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply. Justin texts into the Cherokee Casino Hotline from Van Buren. He says, I'm 30. When I saw that video after the game at Club Dub Saturday, I immediately rolled my eyes. But today, you guys have put a new light on Club Dub, and I think it's a great recruiting tactic and something for the players to enjoy after every win.
What kind of cover would you be willing to pay to go to Club Dub?
I don't know. I'm not a cover guy. I usually try to avoid the places that have covers because it's usually never worth it. Yeah, this is different. I don't know. I'd have to see, first off, how many girls are there?
See, that's the thing with Club Dub. I don't think there's a lot of talent in that locker room, but it's not when you go to a club, that's you're looking for different talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see what you're putting down there, Tommy. Yeah. I feel you. You would probably need to check out the scenery first. The music choice is big. Is there food available? Is there a full bar
probably
there?
Probably a lot of Gatorade,
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I probably would not pay a cover to go into Club Dub.
Yeah.
But, if they need a bouncer, though, I'm their man. I'm their man.
I want to see more because all the video I have seen, I have not seen who is working security. But if they're not in the, from what I hear, they're in the dark suit, you've got to have the little earpiece in your ear, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got to have that. I mean, any nightclub worth their reputation has the security guy with a little security squiggly earpiece in his ear.
Yeah, because are you really a bouncer if you don't? I mean, that seems like at a nightclub, it's a must. You have to have somebody dressed that way with sunglasses on. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, no, they got all the bells and whistles to go along with the nightclub over there.
All the lights, all the strobes, all the music. Yeah.
And those are the things that, again, we may not understand, or you may not understand. Like we had just had Justin Van Buren text. He said he's 30 years old. He rolled his eyes. He thought it was lame. But you have to understand. Do you really think that those things alone are just for the players' enjoyment and that's it? It moves on? Because if that was the case, they probably wouldn't film it. They probably wouldn't video it. They probably wouldn't put it out there and say, hey, Club Dub. They do that for recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. They get it for exposure. They get it to go viral. Because today, kids who are 16, 17, 18 years old in high school, they're on social media. Their lives are on social media. And if they're big-time recruits that have Arkansas on their radar, or even if they didn't have Arkansas on their radar, but they see this, all of a sudden they get things to start clicking in their mind of like, hey, that may be a pretty cool place to go. That coach is sitting there dancing around like a fool. It looks like a lot of fun because people want to have fun playing football. They want to have fun going to a college and going to a university and playing for a coach that's going to allow them and want them to have fun as well. And when they see that, I think that those are the types of things that are the best recruiting tactics you can have. Of course, that you need to go in and say, hey, you want to get into the NFL, I can put you in the NFL. Because ultimately, that's what kids want to be. It's also the same thing when you go to kids and you say, hey, playing time. I'll get you this. I'll develop you into this. Like, those are the key things, of course. But they also want to have fun. And to get your foot in the door, in a lot of cases, sometimes you need to have these types of viral videos and these types of things that make recruits start being interested in you and playing for you because it looks like it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll talk about it more with Richard Davenport, see what kind of response it has gotten. It is a Recruiting Thursday brought to you by Razorback Camper Sales, where they're celebrating 50 years at Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs. It is fall camping season. We're going to get some fall, kind of like fall-like weather this weekend. Check out the 2019 17-foot Salem bunkhouse, outside kitchen, power awnings. It's only $14,976 or $153 a month at Razorback Camper Sales, Exit 1 off the bypass in Hot Springs, and online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Zach and Fort Smith text in, and he says, love to see Dave Van Horn in Club Dub. I don't see Dave Van Horn being a Club Dub type of guy. Maybe if they won the College World Series. One and all, I could see Dave Van Horn having a little fun in a Club Dub himself. But
you know who I can totally see doing Club Dub though?
Musselman.
Absolutely.
Oh, I think, like, I would feel like Musselman's probably upset that he hasn't had a chance to coach a game yet because he wants to have a Club Dub.
No, he was in the locker room Monday, probably trying to figure out where to put lights. You know, where to hang the speakers. You know.
Yes.
How to create this in his own locker room? Absolutely.
His signature is taking off his shirt after big wins, Mountain West Conference titles, or big NCAA tournament wins. So I'd wonder, I mean, would he just start taking off his shirt, waving around, though? The rest of the team do that as well?
I mean, I think so. Because, listen, he's, if you talk about forward thinking when it comes to recruiting and standing out, Musselman's definitely on top of that when you got him recreating photos with recruits of iconic NBA moments. Things like that, he's going to do whatever it takes. So, yeah, I see Musselman. I see Morris. Dave Van Horn, I think he's more in the older generation of people where it's like, you know, he'll enjoy a victory in his own way, but I don't see Dave Van Horn going into Club Dub and start dancing around doing the Soulja Boy, Tom.
No. No, I don't see Van Horn. I don't see Van Horn even probably allowing that going on with his players. They're a little more subdued over there in the baseball program.
Well, I think it's also, too, that, you know, the expectation and the standard and the culture of where those programs are at are obviously night and day.
Maybe because really the games they want to win, you can't win at Baum Stadium.
That's right. That's right.
And you think about it. The game they want to win can only be won in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And Omaha.
Because even when they end up winning the regionals or even the super regionals, I mean, there's celebration, you know, storming the mound and all of that. But Van Horn's just, you know, business as usual. That's not the expectation. That's not the end game is winning those. The end game is winning it all.
Yeah, and the recruiting game's just different in baseball than it is in football or basketball. It's just different because of the scholarship structure.
Yep. So. But it comes down to recruiting in football, especially in basketball. And then, you know, Arkansas, by and large, and you can even say under Mike Anderson and in the previous in basketball, the recruiting's not been great. I mean, it really hasn't when it comes to how good it should be in order to compete at a high level. And in football, we sit here and we have conversations every single year about if Arkansas can ever get to that point where they end up competing for national championships and recruiting at a high level where they're getting in top 10 classes. Has yet to happen, may happen someday, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. Recruiting is everything. You got to make Arkansas look like it's the cool school to be in. You got to do it.
Steve, Texas, on the Cherokee Casino Hotline said, Club Dub? might be pretty exclusive if it's only open after home wins. Ouch.
What? So is he saying that because there's not many going to be many home wins or many home games?
Just reading what it says.
Okay.
Might be pretty exclusive if it's only open after home wins.
Yeah. So. No, that's true. That's true. I wish they would carry it out and end up, who knows, maybe they bring Club Dub out to Dixon Street afterwards, too. It's kind of the second place to go to. So, but, hey, listen, it's recruiting.
You need to have the club open more, which means you're winning more. Absolutely. I hear what Steve's saying there. So,
Tommy, have you ever even been to a nightclub?
Sure. I don't think they were, yeah, I mean, back, 20 years ago.
You're acting like you're surprised I would ask you that question. Like,
I am a little bit surprised you're asking me that question, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Tommy. I never really pictured you as being a nightclub guy. You don't really give that vibe out.
No, not anymore, I'm not. Because, turn down that loud music. I'm more that guy.
Yes.
Get off my lawn.
Yes. Did you wear a chain?
15. Did I wear a what?
A chain.
No. Oh. No, I've never been that guy.
Oh, okay.
Don't confuse me as being comfortable in a place like that.
No.
I've been to places like that.
Well,
so let's not get confused that was like, hey, I can't wait for the weekend to get here so I can go to the club.
I'm just asking because,
And by the club, I mean, something like the Electric Cowboy. That's probably more like the club for me.
Well, I didn't think that maybe you were walking in there with your Columbia PFG fishing shirt on, and I just...
Oh, that would be hot. Well, I mean, you couldn't beat them off with a stick if you wore something like that in there, John.
Oh, I'm telling you, there in your loafers with no socks in them. I mean,
it'd drive them wild.
I mean, they would just be all over you, man. I understand.
Drive them wild.
I understand.
Yeah.
So, but no, I just wanted to ask because again, you don't seem like
fair.
A night. Yeah, you don't seem
it
like,
wouldn't be fair.
Be like fishing with dynamite. You wouldn't
exactly. You, it just wouldn't be fair.
You just didn't seem like a nightclub guy, is all, Tommy. That's what I'm asking because I know that I've been to one. I'm sure Ty's been to one as well.
I probably need to go to places where the lights are down low. That'd probably be better for me,
I don't want to see you ever dance, Tommy. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I just never in my life want to see you dance to nightclub music. Now, if you want to do Copperhead Road or something, be my guest. But I don't ever want to see you trying to do the moves that Chad Morris was trying to do and attempting in his dance routine.
There's
never
probably
want to see that.
Just enough beer in St. Louis to make me look good,
Just enough. Justin texted in from Arkadelphia saying, I'd love to see Tommy at the Electric Cowboy, LOL. No.
Yeah.
No, I would not. Who wants to see that?
I was there like 10 or 15 years ago, Hey, when you get old and married, you don't need to go to places like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I understand, Tommy. I understand. Sid Vicious also tweeted in. He says, where's the Club Dub in Little Rock at War Memorial Stadium? Probably nowhere near. I don't think War Memorial. I don't think they installed a Club Dub there at War Memorial Stadium.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette to talk a little recruiting. Good morning, Richard. Did you get the invitation to Club Dub? Were you on the list?
No, but I'm working on one, man. I wasn't that impressed with Coach Morris's dance moves. I think I can do better.
Well, I'd love to see a dance-off between you two to really settle it on the dance floor to see who ends up winning it. But we'll start right there, Richard, because this has obviously been something that has gone viral and even had a feature on SEC Network talking about it. And to me, this is just about recruiting, man. It's just about showcasing and going viral and being able to get the attention of some possible future prospects. What does something like this do for that? Does it stand out to recruiting, and can it have a really good impact on the recruiting?
Well, number one, I think Coach Morris wakes up every morning thinking what can they do to be outside the box as far as recruiting. And obviously they have several people in the building that are in charge of doing that. And best that I can tell, the Chicago Bears are the only team that I did a search, and I did a search as far as YouTube and on Google, and I think the Chicago Bears started this, and obviously Arkansas picked up on it. And yeah, this is definitely about recruiting. I mean, it's all about recruiting. When you're a program like Arkansas that's trying to get to where Alabama, Clemson, you know, some of the elite programs are getting. You have to think outside the box, and obviously this is doing it. And you know, you gotta get some publicity, get some attention. You know, kids are always on Twitter, and that's something that obviously was retweeted and obviously picked up by the SEC network. So stuff like that obviously gets kids' attention. And even a kid that is kind of, you know, not even looking at Arkansas, he may say, hey, you know, I may even, you know, have my coach reach out to him. Who knows? You know, you just never know what is in a, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid's mind. But I can't imagine that not being a big hit with recruits.
You know, Club Dub, you know, you got to win for Club Dub to be open. You got Musselman taking the photos. He mentioned, hey, no copycats on this stuff. I guess these are two unique recruiting ploys that are unique to Arkansas right now with what Musselman's doing with the pictures and this deal here. How long do you think it will take to get replicated in some way, shape, or form around college football?
Oh, I have no doubt that some other teams will pick up on some of this stuff. There's no doubt. I mean, Arkansas obviously picked up from Chicago, and again, I don't know for sure, but I mean, I did have one person tell me that might know that they know for sure that if no other team in the SEC is doing it, and I'm not so sure another team in the country is doing it, but I'm sure other teams will start to pick up on it and maybe you know, fine tune it a little bit, bring their own version of it, but. You always copy, you always learn from other schools, and obviously Arkansas is kind of at the forefront, it appears, and then this type of situation.
Speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette via the Cherokee Casino Hotline right now on the Morning Rush. Richard, sticking with basketball, it seems like there's a lot of excitement for not only the future of Eric Musselman, but the future of his recruiting, as Moses Moody, another player that so many people are familiar with that has a lot of Arkansas ties from the state of Arkansas. You got Kyrie Walker, guys that are making their official visits. What's the update on that and on their visits, and what's kind of the forecast looking like for their interest in playing for the Razorbacks?
Well, you said it, Moses Moody. He'll be visiting October the 18th through the 20th for the Auburn game, along with KK Caitlin Robinson, formerly of Bryant. Both of those guys will be on campus that weekend. I think you're going to see some other guys to announce dates in the future too for that weekend. And then you mentioned Kyrie Walker. He confirmed, his dad confirmed to me, that they'll be there October the 4th through the 6th. And like you said, you quoted me on Twitter saying that that's the weekend of the red-white game. And I think that's going to be another important weekend for Arkansas basketball because, you know, Barn Hill and the game being played there. So, and then you got Chris Moore. Don't forget about Chris Moore from West Memphis. He'll be taking an official visit to Arkansas this weekend, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's another visitor or two also. But definitely the next month or so is going to be a big time for Razorback basketball going forward in the future of Razorback basketball.
Yeah, you see, it feels like the big recruiting weekend's the red-white deal in Barnhill, you know, which people in their early 30s probably don't remember it, but, you know, that's normally not on a bye weekend, Richard. Normally you have it where you're around a big football weekend.
You usually do. I mean, there are times when you do have kids for official visits on a non-football weekend. I think this is kind of. I think this will show Kyrie and others that visit that night. It'll show the rich history that Arkansas has in basketball, because they'll have to, you know, the coaches and the staff will have to explain to them why are they playing in Barnhill Arena, and when did Barnhill Arena really become Barnhill Arena, and obviously Eddie Sutton and Nolan Richardson.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.